Good evening, everyone. This is Radiance by Design, my name is Veronica Entwistle. And what we're learning to do is stick our aura out consciously, put our radiance out there to come into, integrity with your own special frequency, not a whole bunch of reactions that you're radiating out there, but your own special, unique vibrational imprint out there. I'm looking around and seeing a whole bunch of you out there, and some of you are emotionally clogged at this point, and some of you are moving a lot of that, and some of you are just radiant beings. And I see how interesting our vibrational imprints, or our vibrational, we'll just call it print, I think, is what is it? It's so unique. You're the only one in the universe that's got your job, right? And as I look at you out there, and I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor, and what I do see is all kinds of beings, and I get to see your energy bodies inside, some of you anyway, inside of what you look like physically. So then we see how you've got, for example, some of you have got some shame in the belly or some old abuse issues, or you're sucking your stomach in so that it doesn't really feel powerful. You're taking on that if I hold in my stomach like that, I'm more powerful because I'm not vulnerable. That isn't truth, because the holding pattern and the retraction pattern is what keeps you from your own natural imprint power. And so we're saying that becoming a vibrational being of light is somebody who learns where all those reactions are in your body, mind, releases them so that your natural frequency can radiate out. And then you can draw in a lot of different lights. The universe these days is sending tremendous downloads through. And it's some people are saying, oh my gosh, I feel like there's these updrafts running through my body, and I feel topsy-turvy. And some people are saying, nothing's kind of working the way I thought, but good things are happening simultaneously. And other people are saying, wow, there's so much magic I'm creating right now. Some people are saying, if it can go wrong, it's going wrong right now. But then you watch those people, and a lot of them are turning around a little bit, changing their patterning, relinquishing their hold on stuff that isn't true to the integrity of who they are. And guess what happens to your frequency? Radiance-wise, you pop up. And that's just a wonderful thing. And a lot of you know I do Paradigm Shifters, which is interviews with all kinds of wonderful people whose mission is to imbue the collective with higher frequency energies to really help the collective itself or our collective consciousness to radiate at a higher level. Because if we do that, if you walk into a room and you're consciously radiating at a higher level, radiating love, radiating possibility, and if you can't get it all together, which is highly likely for 99.99% of us, that what we can radiate is a combination of I'm changing, I'm growing, I'm moving and grooving, and I have a higher frequency energy. Put that combination in, and then you are offering into the gathering in that room. You're offering even in the store. You're offering on the bus. You're offering your particular contribution to whatever the collective is. So now we have an early caller, so let's talk to you before we do our collective meditation where we share an energy coherence. So hello, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Veronica. It's Susan in Brooklyn.
Hi, Susan. How you doing, honey?
I'm all right. I had a rehearsal today. It went fairly well. I'm in a relationship kind of that I'm real ambivalent about, and I don't even know what the person is feeling because they're not calling me tonight or something. I just kind of want your take on this relationship.
Is he also a musician?
No, he's not, which is maybe part of the problem because he doesn't really understand that too much.
He does some music, actually.
But honey, I feel like
he's afraid. He's afraid of relationship. He's trying to keep it safe and keep himself kind of a little bit elusive. And that's difficult for you because you're trying to, we were talking about radiating consciously. You're trying to further your own evolution. And you really want right. someone to play with. You've had enough loneliness for 3 people or 20 people, and you really like to play. But I think he's afraid. I don't know if I count on him. If he suddenly, and this is a possibility next week, if he suddenly kind of gets hit or smitten, then he will be a little more in your court. But this time, it's not about you at all, honey. It's about his own need to want to protect himself from the vulnerability it takes to get into relationship. And I want to say this about you. I know you're a singer, performer, and so on, but your throat is really tight. Do you know that? And then when I'm talking to people...
No, I didn't know that. Maybe because of what I had to eat today, or maybe because of there's a problem that I'm having with this. We're having some disagreements, me and this person.
Well, here's the deal. Is that in your body, in your body's mapping, the neck represents the file folder of consciousness of self, who you and who you're becoming. And the throat chakra is the chakra that draws or synthesizes wisdom out of all your experiences. And I know you're a singer, right? You're a performer and a singer
right.
and a wonderful spirit being. But in the conflicts that you've had, even in the a little bit of elusiveness that comes from this new man, it's contracted your throat and your neck area, and the consciousness of self is up for evaluation, redefinition. And so I want you to sing, yodel, whistle, gargle, paint, draw, dance, anything that helps you synthesize at a new level, not because of him, because when his frequency is near you and he's afraid... See, and this is for everybody at home to think about their own relationship. When he's near you and he's frightened, then you tighten up your own neck because you're not sure about yourself and you don't have the confidence about who you are, who you're offering, and the fact that the people might reject you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, my singing has gotten a little bit worse since I've been in this for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, you know what? That makes incredible sense. So it's really an art for us to go, oh, I'm contracting around my neck, and that's because I'm really afraid that who I'm offering as myself has been is rejectable, that people reject me. It's like that. So here's somebody I care about, so now I'm really tense in there. And for everybody at home, it's a really great thing to even just caress your own neck and sing and keep stretching. And it's not about him. It's about you having the right to be who you are. You're the only one in the universe with your job. My gosh. And if he can't handle it, but I think he will handle you better if you can release the tension about who you are that's hitting in your neck and throat.
Do you think that I need to be more myself and not try to fit into the mold of what I think he thinks that I should be?
Please don't fit into the mold.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about you is that there's a new level, and this is the optimistic, and then I have to get off, but there's a new level of you that wants to radiate out there and will attract attention in a way, and you'll laugh more, and you'll feel really good. You're very sensitive. You've been around the block, so you know it's... You can't always count on the world to present what you want. But there's going to be a release coming up in you. It's like, oh, I will not be without. I will be with, but I don't even know what that looks like. I'll clear my need to please everyone. And because remember, you've got a real gift in there. And if you try to please people and you don't bring your gift out, then you've given it away, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's a nice man, but I'm like, he's a coward right now only because he's scared of intimacy.
You think he's scared of intimacy? He thinks I am.
Well, I think he is too, so there. And you know what? How many of us, I want all you people out there, throngs of folks who are listening, aren't we all a little bit scared of it? Especially if you've been around the block a bit and we're all trying to transform. Sure, we're scared of intimacy. We're trying to change and grow, aren't we? And who wants to get hurt again? Right? Put up your hands. Nobody did, you see? Okay, Susan, I'm going to have to go, and I have another caller. I better get on with that, eh?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Let us know what happens, all right?
Okay, I will.
All right. Good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I want to take your call. You're on Radiance by Design. Are you there?
Hello?
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 Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah? Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, I was wondering, I'm having some issues with kind of an ex-boyfriend's boyfriend, if you could tell me anything about it.
An ex-boyfriend's boyfriend?
An ex-boyfriend boyfriend, like I don't know what we are right now.
Have you seen him recently?
About a week and a half ago.
You know, it's funny about him. He's having a hard time emotionally. I don't think it's about you. You know, he's going through a crisis of some sort. Are you aware of that?
No. What do you mean?
He's going through some sort of a personal challenge crisis, so he's a little enigmatic. And so when you say, I don't know what your question exactly was, is like, does he still like me? Did he want to connect with me? Why is it hard for me to know why he's not connecting? Is it like that?
Yeah, well, one minute everything's fine. The next he's acting like a lunatic. The next everything's fine and he's apologizing. And the next he's actually bad-mouthing me to his friends, so I have no clue.
What does he say when he bad-mouths you? I think he's ditzy right now. Something's happened.
He's what?
He's ditzy. He's not. He's
what
unbalanced.
He's unbalanced.
Yeah. He's not. He's not his normal self, honey. And I think it's because he's had some sort of panicky thing. And I don't like him for you. You need someone who's who's growing, who's maybe changing and transforming, and is fun and funny. And you need to get stronger and stronger in his light. And this guy is making you a little weaker, more scared, keeping going inside, not really getting in touch with yourself as well as you want to, you see? Because you're busy defending yourself. I'm going, stop. Get out of the way from him. He just is going through a big crisis of some sort inside himself, and that internal change can't help but be good for him, but it's not fun for you right now.
So is he going to apologize, or will I hear from him, or...
I doubt that he'll apologize because I don't think he really understands that he's a bit goofy.
There's no way he cannot.
Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I see. So,
will
I hope,
hear from him again?
Yeah, you will. But I would say that you can count on the fact he's topsy-turvy and ditzy right now. Ditzy to me just means someone who's uneven and is unreliable in the sense of how he's thinking, feeling, and emotional. How old is he?
46.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's going through a big awakening and a shutting down, and he's just too, I don't know, he's not okay right now. But you have another man coming in a short while, so I would prefer him. I don't like him for you.
Can I guess, is he with someone else or no?
I don't know. I think we're probably done with him for tonight. But
okay.
just send a prayer, because I want to start our meditation before the time gets too far in. All right, bless
your heart. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's funny because a lot of people, and we started saying this at the very beginning, if you're radiating by design, it's really difficult to do that. If your world is topsy-turvy, you're not sure what to count on, you know, all kinds of things are going crazy, and, you know, we keep laughing, going, it's the book of Revelations, because, oh my gosh, the corruption is becoming so much more obvious. And on it goes. And so I just see him being typically uneven. So many people are really uneven right now. People are insecure. The frequencies are moving up on the planet and off the planet. That's keeping some people topsy-turvy. Things you thought you could count on, even belligerence, can't hold itself together as well sometimes these days. Have you noticed that? So I feel badly for that guy, but I know that he's waking himself up and the frequencies are running through him and he's erratic and bits and pieces of, it's like the flotsam and jetsam of past experiences are coming up through him. So that makes it really hard to figure out what on earth he's doing. So let's all do our meditation, because why we do that together is so that we have a beautiful, coherent frequency going on all around us. It's connecting all of us, and it's floating around, or we're experiencing the ambiance of a transformative, healing, vibrational self. So let's do it. You ready? Close your eyes, unless you're standing on 1 foot on the edge of a cliff. Put your foot down and balance yourself out. Okay, so above your head, there's a golden ball about 2 miles up, and below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. Can you feel that? It's kind of stabilizing in itself, isn't it? And now drop from the upper golden ball down to about waist height, a four-sided pyramid, and then upside down with its point going into the lower golden ball and its base meeting the base of the first pyramid. So it's the one sticking up, one sticking down. You have them meet. That's right. So you have an eight-sided figure there, an octahedron. And now inside of that, there's a crystal ball. And the crystal ball pushes to the inside edges of your octahedron. And just take a look at the beautiful spectral colors floating through this crystal ball. Oh, my gosh. And inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David kind of figure. And you're going to spin and spin and spin. And you remember this part. As we spin and spin and spin and spin and spin, we see in front of us, as if it's still, we see the, in front of us, as if it's staying still, we see a beautiful, beautiful screen. And on that screen, the first movie is you. You're creating a movie. You becoming what it is you dream of becoming. And I always want to be actively and vibrantly multidimensional by choice, right? Consciously multidimensional. So I see myself, and whatever you want to be, it's fine. So let's see ourselves becoming what it is that's our dream. And as we work through all the changes, a lot of which are clearings, have that dream move through, and you get to be clearer and clearer. And then when you think you've accomplished that, wrap that in light, move it over to the left. Now we've got space on our magical screen for the next movie. And that's you creating a project, the project of your dream. And you see all the resources. I'm doing the same thing. You see the idea of your big dream, of one of your projects that you want to do. See all the resources, the time, the space, the people, the moolah, all of that coming together to build your project. It might be a home and family. It might be a book. It might be a movie. It might be a political career. Goodness, wow, that's kind of exciting. See all the pieces coming together. See people just showing up magically to help you create the next phase of your project. Yeah, that's it. Maybe it's a job you want. Maybe it's world travel. Maybe it's a love affair. So you bring all the pieces together. That's it. And then when you really see it happening, take a few more minutes and see all the resources coming together to sustain your project so it has a natural life of its own. Wonderful. That's the idea. And when you think that that's going on, then wrap that in light. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. In this healing center, we call up the parts of your healing team, the beings in your healing team that are the healers, right? And these healers, at least some of them, will stand around your healing table, which is so pristine and pure, just radiant. Yes, and you go and lie on your own table, and in amongst these wonderful healers from different dimensions, and ask them for the help that you want. What's going on in your body, mind, emotional self? And ask them gently to help you with that. Or if you don't really know what you want, you say to them, can you please reveal to me, show me what it is I need to be doing? Good. And then you can really feel the presence of these beings as they stand around you, as they work on you. That's it. And then they work on your, or in my case, mine, our body, mind. You can feel the vibration move through your body. That's it. And then you can really feel it moving. Then you wrap that in light, move it over to the left. Doesn't have to be the left, it's just a little order here. And then you bring in a fresh healing table, and then your team replicates themselves around this table. Now I'm going to bring in somebody special tonight, a friend named David. I'm sorry. And David is going to come in, and he's absolutely exhausted. There's a lot of Davids, so maybe we'll bring in all the Davids, right? And have your healing team replicate themselves around this. But behind each of those healing teams, there's a healing team. So you see, you could have an infinite cascade of beings of great light and great service and great intention. So our David, or the various Davids that want to come in, comes in and hops up on the table or crawls on the table, as the case may be. And these beings start to work on him. Make him yawn, because David has so much going on in his solar plexus and his gastrointestinal system. Now that's good that it's showing up, and the healing team is working with his head and his this the David that I have here, and several other ones actually, is very, very exhausted, and also feels that so much of his hard work has been fruitless. And we want to say that's not so. That's not so. But we ask the healing team to bring him a sense of productivity that is nurturing to his morale, to his feeling of contributing to the planet. He likes to contribute. He's always wanted to contribute. There he goes. And they're working with his back, his spine. That's it. And they're working with his brain. Remember, your brain records body pain. But the thing about my friend here is that we want to awaken in him. There's this need to be, I think, a spiritual teacher or spiritually aligned with healing. There we go. Deep within the soul. And we're asking them to launch that precious gift in himself. Mm-hmm. And he also needs to know he's a good soul. And as such, he needs to feel that there's fulfillment in being a good person as well. There we are. And now one more time, we're going to work on David, because the sense of discouragement starts to pop up again. And I want to take that, or ask the angels and the healing team to take his discouragement. Just take it away, because he needs to be imbued with the joie de vivre for life, right? And things are going to get a lot better for him. It's going to start to get a little perkier, a little bit more recognition, and we see a real strong healing light wanting to come up. Yeah. Any questions from the guys? Okay, so they're just wrapping him in light, and we're moving him over to the left, and they'll continue to work on him. So I don't know if you can hear me right now, David, but if you can, I would suggest that you stay still, lie around for a while. That's right, and then drink a lot of water. Okay, good. Now let's replace our healing with another healing table. Let's get a different healing table. Mm-hmm. And now what we're going to do is work with someone. This lady's a little bit overweight, but she has some awful, and you know, it's a catch 22 because she has some very awful kind of vertebrae problems. So she's in excruciating pain, and she's trying to work in spite of all the pain and so on. But if you can't do any physical activity and you're having some spine problems, it's really difficult, isn't it, not to create more problems in your own spine. It's really difficult. So I want to say to her, she needs to lie on the table, and we're going to see if we can move her spine where the team is so that the vertebrae have space between each one of them. Because the way she's working with the densities and the gravity and so on, there you are. So we're spreading out the vertebrae, so there's a little space between each one. Those of you who are yoga aficionados, you know that you do that with yoga, don't you? And that you gain at least a half an inch in height doing yoga. And basically, it's just putting air in between the vertebrae. There we are. Okay. There we are. And now they want to talk to her, and they're saying that, now, this is good for a lot of us to hear that her attitude is really difficult, that she, going back to Radiance by Design, she's not, she's radiating out there an awful lot of frustration, negativity, lack of trust, lack of faith in her life and experience, which is a little bit like what David is going through in a different way. And the problem with that is that she's attracting over and over again, blunting and limiting experiences, relationships, people that push her away, friends that she can't quite trust, and so on. And I'm saying we're going to send a tremendous light up through the perineum and then move it all the way up her spine and ask her in her mind if she would please look at reframing and rephrasing all those deeper inner anxieties that she's got. She just assumes that nobody's going to bother with her. That's it. All the negative assumptions that we get out of life experience. That's right. Okay, and then we're going to carry on. We're going to wrap her in light and move it over to the side. And you know what they're showing me is if she can change her attitude, she's going to do two things. She's going to lose weight and she's going to release the pressure on her spine. That's right. And they're working on it right now. And even though she can't do any physical activity, we want to stretch. We want her to stretch, to reach up. That's it. Okay, now we're wrapping her in light. We're moving it over to the left there. And now we've got a man who's got incredible headaches. Oh, my goodness. He's got, like, pressure in the frontal lobes, front half of his skull. He's a big man. And he lays on the table. And we're seeing, we're asking the team, which replicates itself, okay, to work with him immediately. They put their hands on his skull. Give them a oneness blessing. Oh, there it goes. But they're also showing him something. And that's that he has a really deep, he's a very, very sensitive man. How many of you guys are so sensitive, but you don't quite know how to deal with that? Mm-hmm. That's the idea. And now we're going into his belly. They're going into his belly. And moving a really, really deep in. You know that the belly holds everything everything left over, so that if you've had authority issues and it's been really hard on you as a little one, that's where you store it. And if you've had a sexual or an intimate relationship with someone that didn't go well, or she or he influenced you a great deal, that's all sits in the belly. Parents that are tough and mean, or parents that are absolutely loving, all of that programs your belly and so on. And this one, I want to say this little one, even though he's a big man with these incredible headaches, deep down in his belly, there's a very soft, a real need to cry that he stifled as a small person. And I haven't seen it like that before, but they're showing as if he's a little guy inside of himself, inside of his belly. And there are times when his legs hurt, especially the left leg. And it's all related, so they're working on that. And I wish I could talk to him because it might help a lot, but I think the pressure is coming off his head. But every time I would say to him, and maybe to some of the other ones, go inside whenever you get a headache like that, which is really extreme. See if you can go into your belly, go inside yourself and ask to be in touch with your inner child and ask her or him if he needs to have a good cry, because it's like that. It's really like that. It's like the suppression or the containment of really legitimate feelings. And look what happens. Pinches off the nerve supply, the blood supply. There it goes. And now what's happening to our big man is there's a real pressure across the chest as if his chest is awakening where it's been kind of hardened off to vulnerability. And guess what? That's a really good thing. So thank you for having the courage to come and lie on my open surgery table in the heart, minds, and fingers of my wonderful, wonderful healing guides. Wrap him in light, move it over to the side. And now let's bring in our political table. You know, it's interesting. I keep hearing about Fukushima, that's it. I'm sorry I got the name wrong. But you know that whole meltdown that went on over there, and we keep hearing, and people keep writing to me and saying, oh my gosh, it's coming, all the radiation is in the West Coast, and we're sitting here on the West Coast. But it's funny because I think that we should be able to reverse some of that pain and some of the poison, it's not poison, you know what I mean, some of the radiation that's coming all over the world. And I just figure that what we need to do is call in those lights that are coming in from the universe, and call in the beings of light and truth, and call in all the supports we can, and keep drawing light down through your hands, through your head, and all the way down through your body, radiate it out there, and send your light to all of these streams of this incredible radiation poisoning. Then the other thing to do is let's send our light to the actual meltdown nuclear power plants. Yeah, let's put light all around those. Now, you want to call it in more and more. Ask for the light of these multidimensional beings and for Creator Spirit to just infuse that with light, the kind of light that is transformative and healing. That's the idea. That's it. And I want you to continue to do that. So we're just going to radiate it with light. And then I want you to call in again to the top of your head. Bring in this amazing downloading. I think of it as a very, this one is bright yellow and a very salmony, pinky, orangey color that's very, very, very radiant. And have it come down through the top of the head, spin around your head, around your neck, your shoulders, your chest, your heart, back up into your shoulders, down your arms and your hands till your fingers tingle. And then radiate that light that's in your hands to all the places on the planet where there's all kinds of need, where people are being hurt, where in the Philippines where they've had that terrible storm and people are running around looking for where to go, what to eat, what to drink, where's their family, you know, and buildings are flattened. And I want you to just really keep just beaming tremendous light there. Yeah, they really need a lot of help. But that's not the only place. Back to Japan that needs a lot of help. Back to where that oil spill was down in the Gulf, still needs a tremendous amount of help. All over the world, wherever you can sense and know and have learned about the damages from war, from greed, from business stuff, from forgetting to look after all of life and one another. I want you to just keep flooding all these different places with this healing energy and have it go round and round and round our planet, round and round our planet until there's a huge buffering energy around the planet and have it go round and round and round again. And then come back up through your hands, up your arms, and circle around in your shoulders down into your heart. Pop up from your heart right up through your head. Swirl around and around your head out into the great central sun. Good. And then turn around at the great central sun. Pop back down through your body and into the core of the earth. And I want you to close off, turn back and close off the Galactic Healing Center. And then turn around and jump into your star tetrahedron where you spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Why do we spin in the star tetrahedron? Because we're activating our own light body, which helps us to shift dimensions. We're activating our ability to shift out of this vibrational reality into a higher vibrational reality. You can do that. Okay, and then I'm going to jump into the room, and I'm going to take your call. So glad you're calling. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, good evening, how are you?
Doing fine. I'm not sure if you're hearing me.
I sure am. Who have I got?
Oh, wonderful. You've got Jill in Costa Rica.
Hi, Jill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Do you have a question for me, honey?
I do have a question. Actually, I'm fine. I actually have a request.
Okay.
There's been a bit of trauma. There's been a bit of trauma.
What happened? Are you there?
I am there. I'm hearing an echo. I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I do. Actually, I have a request.
Good. Please, go ahead. I'm not getting an echo, so just talk and trust, okay?
Okay, fine. There's been a trauma here in this little town. A woman who used to work in my place was killed.
Oh, no.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
And,
was it a murder?
And her name is Sarah, and I would like just a little bit of help, if you can, to lift her.
Okay, so, yeah, was she murdered, Jill?
Yes, she was. She was shot.
Yeah. We can all help with this. Let's send light. We're talking to her. She's still in a deep state of trauma. And we're going to send her our love and our light. She has wonderful beings around her, but she just has to extricate herself. It's really interesting, isn't it, to try and separate from the trauma of the moment. So I'm asking everyone at home to join in as we send Sarah blessings and ongoing passage. There, she likes that. Really difficult, isn't it? Do you know who did it? Jill, are you there? I don't know if Jill's having trouble with this call, but what it looks to me is like she knows the people involved and there was a big trauma around it. And I just think we need to send her light so she can move past this dimension and find the completion. She's a very spiritual woman, actually. A very.
If anybody knows that yet, this is really early on, but this is just she was just found today.
Oh my!
And very early on.
Okay. But she's very spiritual, Jill. Did you know that? It's just easier for her soul's journey to move her through because she has a certain kind of belief, but there's a shock and trauma involved as well. So So whoever it was that did it was somebody she knew. Very, very sad.
Mm-hmm. The whole little town here is very traumatized, and I always felt bad about her, and I wanted her. I believe it was probably her boyfriend.
Yeah. But it was such a shock for her, and this little town has very few of this kind of thing, do they not? It's really an exceptional event. She's going to be fine fairly soon. Pardon me? But I thank you for your call, Jill. I'll talk to you after the show as well, all right?
Thank you. Yeah, and thank you for all your help and for all the people out there helping.
Thank you so much, Jill, and blessings to Sarah's journey and her family. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And it's very interesting because I wanted to talk about the passage of life tonight, and I haven't gotten around to it yet, but Jill brought that to us. And Sarah's movement is, she's extricating herself from trauma, which I suppose is what we're always doing. And she's getting a tremendous amount of help, but you all have helped her a lot. We need to pray in the higher frequencies and that she moves quickly through this trauma. And I want to say blessings to the fellow who pulled the trigger, because he needs a lot of help. So, and blessings to the little town for all the people there. It was so sad. So thank you so much for your call, and I better move on to the next person. I think we have another caller, right? And if not, then here's the number, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Wow, and this whole thing about talking about the passage of life is, I was thinking of talking about how everything, every day we live, helps us to have a better and better passage, a better and better death. Death is something that we all do, and yet we're all kind of in awe or afraid of it, and it's not something we're mostly that clear about. And so we had a paradigm shifter on Tuesday night, Lani Leary. It was a rerun of a show. It was a very, very impressive show. She's a near-death experiencer. She's a woman who has worked for many, many years studying, helping people pass and realizing that, you know, you don't die alone, that we always have beings around us, but that there's a lot of ways of preparing for death. I also studied the Tibetan style of dying, which is to do breathing and sounds in such a way as to release our patterns of how we've held old reactions in our body mind. In a way, they're all saying kind of the same thing, is each day as we clear leftover stuff and as we do forgivenesses and as we get more and more in touch with who we really are and as we really increase our ability to love and so on, it's just amazing how much, apparently, according to a lot of people, how much easier it is to cross over and cross through. And it seems like our attachments to people are the things that create huge, huge difficulties when we're dying. And as you and I know, I mean, if you want to see your karma, which to me is what's like attachment stuff, this is who my identity is, it's some reaction I had with you three lifetimes ago or whatever. If you want to know what your karma is, take a look at what you look like and your physiognomy or your facial features and your body structure and so on is really just an amazing file folder, a filing cabinet of attitudes, beliefs, fears, reactions, lineage, and so on. And you really can see a lot about your, I guess you could call it your holding patterns of reaction, but also your drives. You can see a lot of them in the way your body construction is. You know, we all know a little bit, if not a lot, about astrology, for example. And there are aspects of astrology where you can design, you can see by looking at somebody you can figure out what the rising sign is because of how people's, you know, big hands, little hands, strong bone structure, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to try to do it, although I think it's long hands are often rising in air, and shorter hands are good at attracting money, and they're usually fire hands, and so on. There's all kinds of things like that. Well, that's a very simplified way of saying we take with us a lot of reactions and a lot of beliefs. And the higher levels, or the more conscious ways of dying, are ways of releasing all of those reactions and beliefs and the tethers that keep your identity hooked up with this person or that person, because it's those kinds of tethers that we have. Like, my identity really counts on my being in this particular association with you, and my identity is defined by that, then that, I take that with me, don't I? I take, you know, you and I have met one another, probably most of us have met through the whole experience of having lived through a lot of lifetimes and so on, and we take reactions to one another. That's why when you meet people, sometimes you meet somebody and you can't resist each other. It's more like there's a really deep pull. That has a lot to do with not just knowing each other deep down, not just coming home, but because there's something between you on a soul level that hasn't completed itself yet. And so what the Tibetans would say, or a lot of us who are studying the art of dying would say, is to mine those pushes and pulls for what's really in it. And if you go into those things and you feel the pull, don't just chase the person down, speed dial on your cell phone. You want to go inside yourself and really feel the pull, and where is it in my body? And sometimes you can break into the code of what it is. There's some of them where you can exaggerate something funny like this, like, I can't live without her, without him, or something, and bring up that pull in a kind of a vibrant fashion. And if you do that, it's a really caricature of what it really is, but you bring it up and bring it up and bring it up, and very often it'll pop. And if it does, you'll probably feel a hot kind of a flush, and it might take years for it to actually be gone. But you're better to face it and release it, because when you decide to cross over, you're not carting a whole bunch of stuff with you. There's a lot being written these days about how we can literally clear karma. We can literally come out, can be beyond those programs that have kept us going round and round and round in the universes. What do you think about that? I hope some of you are doing, listening to some of the podcasts, because Lani Leary is amazing. And she's going to talk, I think, about, we're going to have her on soon again, and she's going to be talking about little kids and death, and the number of experiences she's had, the relief that they're able to do when they're small, that a lot of the older people can't really do yet, because we're so attached to all of our emotions and our life experiences. Or another way to look at it is you could say that people who die young are people that came to finish something off, and then they don't stay too long, you know, for whatever the reason is that they pass. So dying has been a really interesting subject to me again lately, and so I thank Jill for calling in about that. I want to tell you a little bit about my next paradigm shifter. On Tuesday night, it's going to be a fellow whose name is Rizwan Burke, and his book is called Zen Entrepreneurship. And he's a really interesting man. Talk about dying and clearing yourself and all of that and unhooking. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. He's coming out of college, and he says, all I want to do is be an entrepreneur. I want to do my own businesses. So he goes to this fellow who's a real teacher, and this guy's going to teach him how to do business, but the guy will not teach him a thing until he learns to access his true nature, his vibrational imprint, because he says that real business is built on that. It's not built on some concoction in your mind. So this is kind of another version of that. I love this. I haven't read the whole book yet, but I started reading it a while back. And he's going to be very inspiring to you because this teacher really put him through the paces of self-awareness. And of course, you have to guess this part, that he did come up with a really amazing business plan and a really interesting way of becoming what he called Zen entrepreneur. I love it. I'm also reading a book. I'm always looking at all these different books. Jack Hawley, who rewrote the Bhagavad Gita for Westerners, which is also an interesting thing about dying and so on. He had written a book a while back called Dharma. What is it called? It's about business, spiritualizing business, and it's about managing business with Dharma. Anyway, it's a very, very, it's 20 years old. It's a really wonderful book. And he talks about how business, and now this requires an awful lot of releasing, so I'm not just like deviating from talking about death or even talking about you, right? But he says that a really good business has to require an awful lot of clearing, and the intention of putting love into your business is really, really important. And he says you can feel it in any businesses where it's there. And he doesn't mean the weakening kind of do-good, contrive love. He means a really deep, heart-centered way of approaching not only your business and the financial part of it, but all of the people that are working there. And he talks a lot about the various types of love and how love is often traded as a commodity. I'll give you this kiss if you give me that dollar or whatever, you know. I didn't mean to put it in the financial terms, but you know what I mean? This is often it's an exchange and an attachment. And he's talking about how businesses really do better when they thrive on that kind of consciously putting that ambiance into the work. But he said something else that's really interesting, especially these days. He said it's interesting when people become financially afraid, they don't care anymore, and consciousness and business kind of fades away. Anyway, so we're going to talk to Rizwan Virk about his attitude to consciousness, Zen entrepreneurship, on Tuesday night, and I hope you'll be listening to that. And so many of you are picking up the podcasts off my site, veronicaantwistle.com, and giving me some feedback, and I really appreciate that. So please check my website, veronicaantwistle.com, and hit the Ask Veronica button and tell me about yourself and what you think about the guests or the shows and ideas that you have. Or if you want a session with me, I love that too. So, oh, and there's one more thing I wanted to say about the dying part. Going back to the Tibetans, is when they, throughout their practice, through their meditation and so on, and I've told you this before, but I find it so fascinating. When they die, a lot of them don't even get rigor mortis. And why is that? It's because, you know, which is the hardening of the body after death. Because they spend a lot of their spiritual practice in pulling up and releasing old reactions. And so it's an interesting concept to think that your body doesn't need to harden off after your spirit's left it, because you've taken away all those, what are they? Reactions are really props to our egos in a sense, aren't they? So you pull out all those little those little props that we have that help us to maintain whatever our identity is at the time. Get rid of your reactions. Get rid of your reactions. Let yourself feel the love that all of life is. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I hope that you will write to me. Let me know how you're doing. Keep me posted. And thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. But more than that, thank you so much for radiating consciously into the world. And for keeping on transforming. Good night, many blessings, and much love.